Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Francisco State University's graduate business programs offering 5 accredited advanced degrees, the SF State MBA, rigorous, real-world, respected, open house schedule, and more information at mba.sfsu.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. California State University trustees have long argued they need the financial freedom to compete with private schools when hiring for top talent, like the 4 campus presidents they're in the market for now. But in a time of massive budget cuts, the ever-expanding 6-figure salaries have sparked criticism from students all the way up to Governor Brown. Meeting yesterday in Long Beach, the CSU board bowed to the political pressure and voted to install a salary cap. KPCC's Adolfo Guzman Lopez reports.
From now on, any new president of a Cal State school will make no more than 10% above his or her predecessor's pay, and not more than $325,000 a year. Trustee Lou Monville voted for the cap,
which I think gives a moderate and reasonable predictability to salaries moving forward that both taxpayers, the legislature, and other members of the CSU can really understand.
What many people didn't understand was why the incoming president of San Diego State University received a $400,000 salary last year. That decision set off a wave of protests. Trustee Gavin Newsom says this new salary cap is not ideal, but it's necessary.
So it's frustrating, but you know, at the same time, we need to be competitive, and I think what we did was appropriate and measured under the circumstances. Had we not made the amendment, I think there would have been, let me say respectfully, hell to pay.
The trustees' decision to cap salaries was unanimous, but some critics say the cap doesn't go far enough. State Senator Leland Yee of San Francisco says new hires should make no more than 5% more than their predecessors, and no campus president should get a raise when student tuition goes up. For the California Report, I'm Adolfo Guzman Lopez in Los Angeles.
Budget politics play a role in a bitter dispute over who should crack down on illegal fees in public schools. The ACLU is suing California, arguing the state is failing to quash an increasingly common practice. Both sides were back in L.A. Superior Court yesterday. The California Report's education reporter Anna Tantakalos has more.
$20 for a Spanish workbook, $50 for a soccer uniform, $10 for a calculator in AP math. These are some of the school fees that some public schools charge their students in violation of state law. State education leaders say it's not their fault local school districts are imposing such fees. They say it's up to the state legislature to make sure kids are getting a free education in California. But the ACLU disagrees, saying it's up to state education officials to hold districts responsible. State officials want the judge to toss out the case. Instead, he delayed ruling on the matter, saying he needs more time. The ACLU's Dave Sapp says it's clear state education officials are skirting their responsibility.
Even if a district is doing something that is against the law, the state has a duty to intervene and stop it. You know, really, what's the point of having a state Department of Education and state Superintendent of Public Instruction if their response to widespread violations of students' rights is, hey, it's not our fault, we can't do anything about it?
The State Department of Education declined to comment. A final ruling on the matter is expected by the end of this week. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tantakalos.
Governor Jerry Brown received some welcome news this week about his proposal to raise taxes and earmark the money for schools. A statewide poll found 68% of likely voters on board with it. The ballot measure is in the signature-gathering stage now, and so far, it's got a lot of support. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has the story.
Governor Brown's initiative to temporarily raise income taxes on the most wealthy and sales taxes on everyone has a little more than 4 months to qualify for the November ballot. In that time, he has 2 major tasks, which, lucky for him, can be accomplished at the same time: create a broad and perhaps bipartisan coalition and raise a lot of money. In just his first month of fundraising, Brown collected more than $1.4 million, the single largest contribution, $500,000, from the California Hospitals Association. Jan Emerson Shea is the association's spokeswoman.
We have long advocated for several years now that there really needed to be a balance between new revenues and cuts, and that's why we believe the governor's initiative is definitely on the right track.
So too, it seems, do others that until now have found very little in common with Brown. The governor's tax initiative reports a $250,000 contribution from Occidental Petroleum, Occidental was a major player in the 2010 initiative to delay or perhaps kill the state's landmark climate change law, a law Brown strongly supports. The company did not respond to our request for comment. Meantime, the governor's effort is also courting more traditional Democratic allies. His campaign has received $250,000 from the State Building and Construction Trades Council. And then there are donors who give to both sides of the political spectrum, most notably Indian tribes. $100,000 checks have come in from two Indian gaming tribes, including the Litton tribe, which operates a casino in the Bay Area community of San Pablo. Spokesman Doug Elmitz says tribal members are worried about the potential new cuts in school funding without Brown's taxes.
They are absolutely insistent that the state avoid those cuts, and that's the reason they've made this significant contribution.
But as good as that start is, the governor's tax initiative coalition will need to be even broader to assure success with the voters in November. Of particular interest will be whether Brown is able to enlist some of the state's largest businesses to his effort. The governor said earlier this month he's met with the chairman of Microsoft and Oracle, to name but two. Those companies are big, but not big political players. The biggest business power in state politics is the California Chamber of Commerce, which so far is neutral on the governor's initiative, which he says will bring in $7 billion a year.
The chamber may not endorse formally, but a number of its businesses would be in support. I've talked to a number of business people. I do think, though, we're going to have a very wide coalition, and I think the only way this thing passes, if it is in fact and is perceived as the leadership of California telling the people of the state, this is something we really need.
Jerry Brown knows California politics as well as anyone, and pollsters this week said that his read on the electorate is probably right. The governor's work is far from done. Qualifying an initiative usually takes close to $3 million to pay signature gatherers, and running a major statewide campaign could take four times as much money. All of which means Jerry Brown's dialing for dollars and cajoling the politically powerful is just getting started. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
Just getting started indeed. You can stay on top of this year's election season in California on your own time. Subscribe to our podcast. You'll find us at iTunes, of course, and on our website. Look for the link at californiareport.org. The California Report for Thursday, January 26th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URScorp.com.